بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, dear visitors, my young friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Imagine if right now, in this city of ours, in this province, in this country, there was no government, there was no leadership. Imagine if there was no city council, if there was no mayor, if there was no Canada Revenue Agency. Actually, we might be happy about that one, but if these different departments of the government did not exist, life would likely be very different. And if you look at different parts of the world, unfortunately, that have been suffering through conflicts and different difficulties, we can get a glimpse of what life is like without order, without leadership, without a structure to society that can manage the affairs of the people and give them the services that they need. So it is in fact very difficult, we learn, for people, for groups of people to operate, to cooperate, to live together, and to have their needs met when there is no structured leadership. And this is why perhaps we find in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, for example, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, reported to have said, إِذَا كُنْتُمْ نَفَرًا ثَلَاثَةً فَأَمِّرُوا أَحَدَكُمْ, that when you are in a group of three, a group which has common interests, when it has dealings with one another and it has something in common, then make one person the leader, make someone the amir. ذَاكَ أَمِيرٌ أَمَّرَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, and this is the Amir, the leader, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has actually commanded. This is the leadership that he has commanded. Other narrations coming from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, إِذَا خَرَجَ ثَلَاثَةٌ فِي سَفَرٍ فَلْيُؤَمِّرُوا أَحَدَهُمْ, when three persons go out on a journey, let them appoint one of them as an Amir. And another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that it is not permissible for a group of three persons in a desolate land or in a desert land to stay there except that there should be an amir appointed over them from amongst themselves. Now, it's interesting that the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that have to do with leadership, with choosing an amir, refer to some instance where people are out and about somewhere alone. So for example, on a journey or in a desolate land. And the reason for that, that appears to be the reason for that, was because generally when people were in societies, for example, with the Prophet ﷺ, he was their Amir. So they had an established Amir. But in situations when they were away, and they did not have contact, direct contact with that society, and they were not able to have the benefits of the Amir and leadership that was pre-existing, then the Prophet ﷺ said, in those scenarios, you need to choose a leader from amongst yourselves. Now, when we look at leadership, and the leaders that we have had in Islam, beginning from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khulafa al-Rashidin, we find that the main qualities, well, actually there were many qualities, and there are many characteristics that should be found in a good leader. But the few main ones that we find are the following. And number one is knowledge. Right, a leader needs to be knowledgeable. When the affairs of the people and the leadership role has to do with Islam specifically, if it's dealing with Muslims or a Muslim society, a Muslim organization, something that has that affects people's deen, then definitely Islamic knowledge is a priority. And other times as well, of course, knowledge of Islam is highly valued. And it's something which is a very important characteristic. Now, if this leadership is regarding other matters, right, which do not necessarily impact Islam or have to do with, you know, with Islamic teachings, then of course expertise and knowledge in that particular area as well, whatever it is that is the main raison d'etre of the group or the main purpose of the group. But nonetheless, for a Muslim leader, Islamic knowledge is very, very high on the list, number one on the list. With that also comes the balance. Because you see, what happens is that when a person has a lot of knowledge, right, and a person has been blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with knowledge, sometimes that knowledge can lead a person in perhaps not the best direction. And therefore, that is balanced out primarily with taqwa. Right? So consciousness and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because with that, if a person has taqwa, then they can channel that knowledge that they have. They can channel that knowledge that they have acquired and that they have in the right way, in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So taqwa as well is a very, very important characteristic. Now, as I've mentioned many times before, it's very difficult, or it can be very difficult, to gauge someone's taqwa, because this is something which is in the heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best about it. Right? So we are not in a position to give people taqwa ratings. However, we can make some form of judgment, perhaps not perfect, based on their actions, based on their dealings, based on their character, based on their behavior. Okay? So we have knowledge, we have taqwa. Then of course the two qualities which are essential for leadership, and in fact the two qualities that the Prophet ﷺ was known for before he was given the prophethood, which sort of gives you an idea as to how important they are for successful leadership. And the Prophet ﷺ was known by the titles of As-Sadiq and Al-Amin. Right? So the honest and the trustworthy. So again, how do we judge honesty and trustworthy? Through people's dealings. Right? So if you've had interactions with people and they've proven to be honest, they've proven to be trustworthy, they've kept their word, they have stood by their promises, then we can get an idea that yes, this person is honest and is trustworthy. Right? Or we ask people who've had interactions with that person, and from that we can get an idea. And finally, ability and experience. Right, so somebody could have knowledge, somebody could have taqwa, they could be honest and so on. But if they don't have the ability to lead, right, if they don't have the experience, then that can present challenges as well. Right, so one of an important consideration. Now, there could be times when some people have, one person has some and the other person has other qualities, because of course no one is perfect. Then one has to make a judgment to the best of one's ability, which I'll talk about a bit later on. But generally, an ideal characteristic or characteristics, part of the ideal characteristics is also to have the ability to lead, to bring people together, to make, you know, decisions at difficult times, and also some experience in that regard also helps. And now when it comes to deciding matters, okay, so now in the society we established that, okay, it is important to have a leader. It is important to have an emir, okay, whenever there's a group of people that are together. Now, how are they going to decide on who's going to lead? How are they going to decide their matters amongst themselves? Are the people, you know, whoever is the most strongest or the most wealthiest, is he or she the one who's going to make the decision? Is it going to be the person with the most connections, you know, who has the most say? How is this supposed to work? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in fact, it's interesting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this as one of the qualities of the people who believe in Allah and who rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have tawakkul on Allah. Okay, so this is an important quality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about an important special group of people, those who believe and those who place their trust in Allah and who rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of their qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. These are the people whose affairs are determined by consultations among themselves. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. So the matters, their affairs, are decided by consultation. They consult with one another. And this is not just for, this is not, you know, an instruction or a command just for a community leader or the leader of a nation. Right? This is for everyone. وَأَمْرُهُمْ شُورَى بَيْنَهُمْ. Their matters are decided and determined through consultation. So they consult with one another. And in fact, the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right, who is the final messenger, who is the beloved of Allah, who is chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is protected from sins, and who is getting direct inspiration and revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consult. Consult with the companions. Consult with the family members. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And consult them, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in matters of public concern, in matters that affect other people. And it is recorded that there were times where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he consulted with the companions for a decision, consulted with his wives. So he consulted with women, he consulted with men. So the Prophet ﷺ followed through on this command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to consult people in matters of public concern. So consultations need to be done. Now when these consultations are done, that means that you, for example, are being asked to present your opinion. To give your opinion, because you may be one of the people who are consulted. And when it comes to consultations or giving advice, right, or stating an opinion, when it comes to choosing between people, okay, because this is what happens usually when we have a vote, right? We're trying to choose between different people. Especially when you're trying to choose a leader, it's very important to make a fair and informed decision. Make a fair, just, and informed decision. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. That whenever you judge between people, judge with justice. بِالْعَدْلِ. Right? So judge in justice. So now this could be, you know, if someone's acting as a judge and two people come in some sort of dispute to decide between them with justice. But also, if giving an opinion regarding someone or one choosing one person over the other, important to do that with justice and understand that it is an important responsibility. And the Prophet ﷺ has highlighted that by stating that the person whose counsel is sought is a trustee. The person whose counsel is sought, whose advice is sought, is a trustee. When he counsels, then he must counsel with what he would propose to his own self. And meaning to do otherwise is a breach of trust. Right? So if somebody asks us for our opinion, and we are asked to give our advice, our opinion, or make a choice, then that is a type of trust upon us. So it is therefore our responsibility to counsel and give advice in a way that we will, that would hold true for ourselves. Right? So if you're telling someone that, okay, this is what they should do, then that should be something that should apply to ourselves as well. So we should take it very seriously and understand that this is a type of trust that has been put upon us. Now once the Amir, the leader, has been selected, then when it comes to making decisions, that Amir too should of course consult. Okay, make consultations with people. And then take the best course of action. Now this is a very important function, and this is why leadership is so serious. Because it's not just that, okay, I'm the leader, I'm the imam, or I'm the amir, or whoever, so now whatever I say goes. Right? That's not the Islamic style of leadership. That whatever I say goes. Rather, it is, okay, I will ask around and get people's opinion, and then trying to cast my biases aside, I'm going to try to make the best decision that is in the best interest of everyone, not just in my best interest. Right? And this is the biggest pitfall that people, politicians, whoever is in leadership, often ends up falling into. Right? So the decisions are not for one's personal gain. The decision is for the common good and the common benefit. So the Amir should be consulting, should take the best course of action, Once the Amir has made the decision, once the leader, the Imam, whoever it is in leadership has made the decision, then that decision should generally be accepted, even if it is against one's own opinion. So I'm a part of a mashwara, a shura, and I give my opinion, and the Amir, for whatever reason, the leader ends up taking somebody else's opinion, not my opinion. Okay. At this point, I should accept that, right? Generally. Now, there may be exceptions when there's something, for example, that's illegal that's happening, or something that is clearly contrary to the guidance of Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on and so forth. There may be some exceptions, but generally, if it's my personal opinion versus someone else's opinion, once I've stated my opinion and the decision has been made by the Amir after consulting with different people, then I need to accept that decision. So these are the basic principles upon which any group of Muslims should be governed. Now, from an Islamic perspective, leadership is nothing to vie for. Okay, now you'll see that in politics especially, right, people will start off small, right? Maybe school trustee, city council, provincial, federal, right? So there's steps that people go through in pursuit of their political ambitions. From an Islamic perspective, for a believer, leadership is nothing to vie for. And there's the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, who actually is said to have asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever his intentions may be, but he asked him for some responsibility. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Abu Dharr, you are a weak person. Governance is a trust which on the day of judgment may prove to have been a source of humiliation and remorse. Governance is a trust, right? And this is the weight of that trust, that on the day of judgment it may prove to have been a source of humiliation and remorse, except in the case of a person who discharges all its obligations to the full. Right, so now, if you think about it, any person who thinks with common sense and who understands things will be somewhat reluctant and somewhat afraid to put themselves forward, to push themselves forward into having this responsibility, because it has a lot of weight. It's a trust, and one is accountable for that on the day of judgment. And what this tells us, and there's other narrations, other teachings in other contexts that also tell us the same, and that is that the greater the role, the greater the responsibility, the greater the obligations, the greater also the risk of humiliation and remorse on the day of judgment. Right? The greater the responsibility that one has upon their shoulders, the greater the accountability, and therefore the greater also the risk of humiliation and remorse on the day of judgment, right? So it is not a leadership, any type of leadership, whether it's in a club or a group or a community, or wherever it may be in politics, is not something to just run after. Because the believer knows that it is very heavy in terms of its responsibility and in terms of its accountability. And this does not just apply to politics, for example, because the Prophet ﷺ has told us, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْؤُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, that every one of you is a shepherd and is responsible for their flock. Right? So as a father and a husband, you are a leader, you have a responsibility which you are accountable for. As a wife and as a mother, you also have responsibility that you're accountable for. As an employee, as the head of your group, or as a manager, or as a supervisor at work, you also have responsibilities that you are accountable for. So there's no getting away from this. But the fact of the matter remains that the more authority and the more power a person has, the greater the accountability and the greater the scrutiny. So authority and leadership are a type of trust. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us very clearly about trust. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا, that verily Allah commands you to fulfill your trust to those whom it is due. Now generally we think about trust that someone has given you something, a material thing, and you have to return it, make sure that it is kept safe, and you return it exactly as it was to the person who entrusted you with that. But these matters are also trust, right? So leadership and having being given responsibilities whether at work or at home or in school or anywhere else, these are all trusts that have been given to us. So being in a position of authority or leadership, regardless of how small or how large it may be, is a trust upon you. So it must be then dealt with seriousness, with diligence, with care, with every effort made to be scrupulous and to give your best to fulfill that trust. Now, as it's clear now, leadership is not something to vie for. But if a person is asked or encouraged by people of knowledge, people of wisdom, to step forward and to take on responsibilities, then a person needs to do that. In fact, it may become a duty upon a person. Right? Because now, let's think about it. We know it's important to have an emir, right? To have leadership, to have some sort of structure so that people can operate, society can operate. Now, if everyone hears, you know, all of this and gets scared and says, okay, well, I don't want to move forward because I don't want that responsibility, then there's going to be a problem. Right? There's going to be a problem because things will not be able to function, things will not be able to operate. So there needs to be that balance where a person does not vie for leadership, does not desire leadership, but at the same time, if people of knowledge and wisdom and piety encourage that person and tell them, okay, perhaps you should step forward because there is a need, and we need people to serve the community, to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to run things properly, then there's also a responsibility, a duty to step forward. And this is not, of course, for personal gain, not for fame, not for power, not motivated by, you know, a desire to have authority, but only to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of one's ability. And when that trust comes, of course, then one needs to deal with that trust carefully. A leader needs to be just. And again, whether it's leader in your home or at school or at work or anywhere else, deal with that trust carefully. Be just. Right? Consult with one another. And have humility. Because one of the most intoxicating effects of power is arrogance. Right? So power comes in, and if it's not regulated, then arrogance starts to flourish, unfortunately. So humility needs to be a very important part of that. And when one consults, to consider the opinions carefully, even if it's against one's own opinion. Perhaps the other person is more correct. Perhaps the other person has a point. So it's very important to consider all of those. And actually, this ingredient is one of the main ingredients of successful homes as well. And if you want to have successful homes and peace in our homes with our families, then this is also a very important ingredient of that. And if we fall short, and everyone can fall short, and does fall short, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Right? The insan, the human being, has been created weak. Right? So we make mistakes. None of us is perfect. Right? So if we make a mistake, we fall short, admit the mistake. Admit, accept the mistake, apologize. And if it's needed, or one should consider, perhaps even moving aside, if that is possible, and if that will not cause more chaos. I'll end with a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that a person who intends to do something then goes in consultation. Okay, so if a person intends to do something, goes into consultation and comes up with a decision to do or not to do that, he gets from Allah Almighty guidance towards an option which is correct and beneficial. Right? So in all our affairs, right, in whichever sphere, it doesn't matter. Always try to consult. And if you consult people, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless that decision. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide you towards an option which is the most correct and most beneficial. As we know, this Sunday, inshallah, is our annual general meeting here at the ISK. For those who are members and have signed up, of course, you're encouraged to come and take part, vote in matters of importance. And even if you are not a member, you're a paid member, that is, you're still a member of the community. Anyone who comes and uses this masjid, every Muslim is a member of this community. So everyone is encouraged to come, spend some time, take an interest in the matters of the community, of the masjid. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for your participation and for your concern if you do it with sincerity and for pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be good leaders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to fulfill our trust. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from all types of trials and tribulations and make this a community of peace, love, and harmony. Ameen wa akhir da'wana. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.